Well, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Hope you have a great start of your Labor Day weekend. Look, you've worked for it. You deserve it. Enjoy it. We'll be here live for you. I've got Jimmy Church coming in on Saturday. I'll be on Sunday, first Sunday of the month I do that. And, of course, Labor Day night, Monday, we'll have a live program. I'll be here for that, too, as we get rolling into September, soon fall, then winter, and my gosh, it'll be ghost-to-ghost night on Halloween. It'll be Thanksgiving. I just can't believe how fast things are going. We're going to have open lines for you when we come back, including, of course, I want with you to share with us a strange story, something that happened in your life sometime or maybe a friend, a story you just don't forget, but it's got to be strange. Share it with us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Open lines now on Coast to Coast. By the way, if you're in the St. Louis area, tomorrow over the weekend is the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Festival, where they do this major fundraiser, but it's a great festival. And if you go out there, try to say hi to Peter Vaccaro, the announcer. He's an old friend of mine. And just tell him hi from everybody at Coast to Coast. You'll make his day. But those of you in the St. Louis area, get out to the Greek festival up there on Forest Park Parkway in St. Louis, and you'll have a great time there. Good people, dedicated people, and hard workers. Open lines for you. Let's go to the phones to get things started. First-time caller is Deborah in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Welcome to the program. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you are, too.
I am. I'm so excited. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm calling about when Linda mentioned the Cabot.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach school and many years ago, and I taught third grade and would get into school about an hour before the children did. And I was at my desk getting ready for the day, and one of my students appeared at my doorway with her mom, and they came in Fridays. It was a Friday. We used to have show and tell. And she had this little creature in her hand. And she said, we have something, but we wanted to ask you ahead of time if Gwen could bring this animal to show and tell. It was a Cabot. She said,
They're real. They exist.
They do. And it was in Bucks County in Pennsylvania, in the suburb, you know, and they lived rurally. They had a farm next door to them. And the farmer found this little Cabot in a nest of bunnies. And he showed it to the child, and they gave it to Gwen. The farmer gave it to her. And so it was amazing. It had the head of a cat, but it basically had the body of a...
of the rabbit. Bunny. Yep, yes. it's got the legs. And they, I think they can live a normal life, can't they?
Absolutely. And later in the year, it bred with her cat. And they had four kittens and one Cabot in their litter. They brought me the Cabot, the baby, did I want it? And I said, oh, my gosh, yes. And I named it Wolfie.
I've seen pictures of them. Does it look weird when you see them in person?
Yeah. It's definitely obvious that it's not just a cat.
Do they hop? How do they walk?
They do. They hop. It had the head of a cat, and it had the front legs of a cat. But then the body goes into the shape of a bunny. It had haunches. It had the flat back feet and a cotton tail.
It would have been funny, too, if it had rabbit ears.
Yeah, no, it didn't. And people used to say, oh, it's a lynx. And I said, no, it's not a lynx. It's a cat.
It's a Cabot. That's right.
But I thought I made the name up, Gwen's mom. We called it a Cabot. And when I heard it tonight, I went crazy. I have to share this if I can get online.
I heard about it years ago, but they're out there.
They are.
They're out there. It's strange, though, how they can breed and that would happen.
I know. I mean,
it's not supposed to happen.
Not with hybrids usually of that nature, but it did. So it was a male. Her original one was a male.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a live stage show in Fort Lauderdale next year. Tom's thinking about putting one together there. So definitely get your friends from the Florida area and come on out.
Oh, definitely. That would be so much fun.
We'd have fun. Okay, thanks, Deborah. Good talking to you. Next up, we go to Michael in Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Norrie. I would like to ask you about your desire to interview Mark Chapman and Sirhan Sirhan. And I want to ask you if you're going to get into the MKUltra angle and this bizarre psychiatrist who is apparently involved with both of them.
We haven't made the approach yet with Mark Chapman, but I have asked Sirhan Sirhan's attorney, William Pepper, to consider me being able to go down to the prison and interview him on tape. I would love to. I mean, to me as a journalist and a news person and a talk show host, that would be an amazing interview. So we're still working on that. The answer keeps coming back, not yet, not yet, but I'm not going to give up.
Well, I wanted to say the thing with Chapman. I've read different things, but I haven't really heard anything on Coast or anything, I mean, as far as bringing it out in the open. And they're saying that John was shot from some different angles, which didn't match up where Mark was and stuff. And I want to know, have you looked at that at all?
No, I haven't looked at that deeply. I will, though, for you.
Okay, well, thank you, George. I just want to say that, I think RFK was pretty much a bad guy. You know, he was involved in Operation Mongoose assassinations, and he was apparently involved in some terrorism towards Israel. And, you know, he was just a weird guy. But as far as the MKUltra, you know, this is the thing of the 20th century that needs to be exposed.
All right, well, we'll check into that, but the Sirhan Sirhan one, the request is out there. It's iffy, to be sure, but hey, anything could happen. We shall see. Let's go to Austin, Texas. Jeff Reeves with us. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show. By the way, Skype line is open if you want to give us a try at George 97313. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, George.
How's everything in Austin, Texas?
It's good. It's good. I'm up a little bit late, later than normal, but it's all right. So I called in, yes, for the, you know, the kind of the strange stories.
Yeah.
I've got one that I last week I was downtown Austin, Congress Avenue, visiting a local Hana bar. I was talking, it's a well-known place for paranormal activity out here in Austin. And I met a young man, a bartender, and I was asking him if he had any ghost stories about the place. And he said, yes, he did. And he told me a few. And then he told me something. He said, you know, when I was, there's something that still bothers me from when I was a kid. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, when I was 6 years old, in my bedroom, I saw a dark, shadowy figure that was a trench coat and a hat.
Ah, okay.
And I said, what kind of hat? And he said, a little bit of a broader rim hat. And I said, like a fedora? And he said, yeah. He goes, what's a fedora? I had to describe what a fedora looked like. He said, yeah, that's what I saw. And I said, well, what happened then? Did it come closer to you? He said, no, it just stood there. And I said, did you see its face? And I didn't see its face. And I said, what'd you do then? And he said, I just pulled the covers up over my head. I said, well, of course. I said, I understand that. And he goes, you know, I've looked all over the place, and I've tried to meet people that saw the same thing, and it's all over the Internet, he told me. I said, well, you know, that's curious. I said, because ironically, I have not found anything on the Internet like that, but you just met someone who saw the same thing that you did. And I was 14 years, I'm 47 years old now. I was 14 years old. I was in my house. I had an old friend of mine, a kid I grew up with from across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was wide open. My parents were gone for the evening, which was unusual. The front and the back door open. We had screen doors trying to air the place out in the summertime. And we went back in the old kitchen, back towards the back door. We're going to go outside. And right on the other side of the screen door, we saw the same thing. This dark, shadowy figure looked like it was wearing a trench coat.
The hat man.
With a hat. Yeah, I looked it up online. That's what I saw.
That's it. Heidi Hollis, we just had her on last week. It's there.
Well, here's the thing this that's different from all the other stories that I saw online. I actually saw the face, and the face was a skull.
Really? Not a lot of people see the face.
It was a, yeah, well, that's what I've come to realize over the past week and a half. But, yeah, it was a skeleton. It was, as far as I could tell, the only part of the body I could see was the face. It was a skull. And it was wearing a trench coat, and it had the fedora cap on its head, and it just stood there.
That's freaky.
Yeah, and so I looked at my buddy, whom I'd grown up with, and I could see his eyes were wide open. He had a look of fear on his face. I looked at him, he looked at me, and we ran outside through the old house, back to the front of the house, out the door, back across the road to his old house. And we stood there wondering what we're going to do. And I, before anything else, I asked him, I said, "What did you see? I know you saw something. I saw your face." And he told me what he saw. And I said, "Well, we saw the same thing." I said, "I've got to go back over there. My house is wide open. I can't just leave it like that. My parents will come home and kill me." And so I said, "I'm going back to the house, and you're coming with me." He said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Yes, you are."
Were you scared? Were you scared?
Of course.
Yeah.
Terrified. And that's not the first thing that happened in that house. That's another story. But that is the time that I saw that apparition, whatever that was. When we went back into the house, nothing was there. The house was still wide open. Nothing on behind the back screen door. Nothing was there, but we did see the same thing. And this young man whom I met at this particular bar in Austin, I was not drinking, by the way. I was out asking questions because I'd heard their stories about this place. And he told me, after all of the conversations about ghost stories and whatnot, which was entertaining, but he told me he had seen the same thing that I had. He was 6 years old. I was 14. Jeez. We both saw the same thing.
And I got to tell you, Jeff, those are some of the earlier stories of seeing the Hat Man. Really early. I mean, that's an interesting visual that you portray there with what you saw. It truly is. Speaking of hats, by the way, does anybody have an answer to this? In the 30s, 40s, and 50s, almost every guy wore a hat, a fedora, a hat like that, when they went to restaurants, meetings, outside. Every guy wore a hat with their business suits, without their suits. Then what happened? They just went away. What was the craze that got people to stop buying and wearing hats? That's interesting. I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. But everybody had a hat on. If you look at some of these older movies, everybody had a hat. You have all these guys sitting in a lounge. They're all wearing their hats. The Sinatra types and all that. East of the Rockies, Victor's with us in Sulphur Springs, Texas. Hi, Victor. Welcome to the program.
Hey, is this Papa Giorgio?
This is Papa Giorgio.
That is so sweet. You are a fortunate man to have
a... I love him.
Yeah, that is sweet. Well, you probably know that I'm a listener. And I have two stories.
Okay.
I'm down here close to the piney woods of Texas. And I'm driving to my property on a so-called county road that wasn't maintained very well. And I had heard about what they call a black panther in that area.
Uh-huh.
And I saw it out in the middle of a hay field. Of course, it was mowed, and I could see it. And it stopped and looked at me, and I thought, well, you know, you've been killing a lot of calves, dogs, and cats. I think it's time for you to go. And I got my gun, and I am a good shot. And I shot that thing. And it disappeared.
Just poof, like that.
It was gone. Absolutely gone. I could not believe it. I grabbed a friend of mine that was trying to get it for years. He's been trying to get this thing. And we drove around. I said, it was right here. There was no blood. We went into the woods, could not find it. It just, and you know, it was a good 100 yards from the woods.
It probably wasn't physical at all anyway.
I don't know. I would think it was supernatural type stuff. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was, and its tail was as long as its body. But they're not black panthers. They're actually leopards with a dark pigment.
Without the spots.
No, they have the spots, but you can't really see them.
You can't see them.
You focus on them.
Ah, interesting. And the eyes?
Well, this was during the daytime, and they were big round eyes, just like a cat, and they looked to be yellowish green. But that thing just disappeared.
That's amazing.
You know, I've done a lot of shamanic studying, and okay.
I love it. Time permitting, what was your second story?
Well, the second story is I used to go elk hunting up by St. Helens before it blew. And I always went with these couple guys that were real macho, and we're out in the woods and all this. We're driving around, and of course, we're, you know, it's out in the woods and nobody's around. So we're passing we're having a beer and driving, which is not suggested. But all of a sudden, we drove through this, what's called a log landing, which is where they haul the logs up.
Mm-hmm.
And they de-limb them.
And they just keep them there stacked up?
Yeah, until they burn them. They
right.
used to burn them. They'd cover them up with crepe paper, and whenever it rained, they would burn them or whatever. But we were driving. We went right by this. It was kind of a curve, and these fir limbs, and, of course, all the nettles or needles were off of it, and they were flying. They were like somebody's throwing them at us, and it hit the truck. And these things at the where they cut them off of the tree, they're like 4-5 inches thick.
Yeah, and they're like thorns.
But no, and they're like 12 feet long.
Jeez,
they're huge. I mean,
oh,
you know,
these aren't just the little bristles; they're the whole thing.
Yeah, this is an actual. Like a second growth fir tree that they cut the limbs off and they leave them lay.
Who was tossing them at you?
Well, they were going to get out and beat the hell out of the guy. And I said, you know what? We're near the ape caves and the St. Helens and stuff like that. And they didn't. I said, I think maybe we should let this go and drive on. And they weren't so macho then, because they realized they were, I'm sure you've heard of the ape caves.
Yep.
And the spirit lake and all that.
That's what was happening to them. They weren't being tossed at you by a human, that's for sure. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Now, this could be the answer to why guys stopped wearing hats and fedoras. Had to do with closed cars. That's right. Once they covered cars and it became more popular that the necessity for a hat diminished, and because of the low roofs of some of those cars, it means you couldn't wear your hat while you're driving, so it just started fading away. But that's one reason, they say, that the guys stopped wearing these hats. Huh, interesting. Let's go to the phones now. Open lines. Sarah in Ashland, Oregon with us. Hi, Sarah. Welcome.
Hello, George. I wanted to tell you about a supernatural experience I had about 7 years ago.
Okay.
I live in Southern Oregon, and I was driving on Upper Applegate Road to my job at a small ranch, and I had heard about a fatality accident quite a terrible accident that had occurred on that road. And it was, the road is rural and it's quite windy. And so I was looking, as I was driving to my job, I was looking on the road to see if I could see where the crash occurred, because I wanted to be a better driver, a more careful driver.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I came to a point where I came around a bend and I saw these horrendous skid marks all over the road. And just as I was observing these skid marks, I saw this dog-like creature from my side of the road run across the road in front of me, right over the skid marks and into this embankment that was at a 90-degree angle. And this dog-like creature started to just run straight up this embankment that was at a 90-degree angle and then disappeared. And I was driving slowly because it was a difficult corner, and I was absolutely in shock because I'm fairly familiar with wildlife, and this was a type of creature that I have never seen before or since, and it vanished. It vanished into this embankment, and to this day, I just have no explanation for what it was. It kind of looks like the pictures of chupacabras on the internet that I've seen, because it wasn't large. It was larger than a dog and kind of hairy and shaggy and hunched over looking.
Was it fast?
Was it what?
Fast?
Yes, it was very fast. It was very fast, and the way it climbed up the side of the embankment was very unnatural for most animals. I don't know what to make of it, but I thought it was very eerie to me that I saw this creature right at the same spot where there had been this horrendous fatality accident. And I arrived at the ranch, I felt very shaken because I just couldn't wrap my head around what I had seen. That was my story. That's what I saw.
And to this day, you still don't know what it was, do you?
I have no idea what that creature was. It was kind of ugly looking, in a very shaggy, dirty looking something. I don't know, but it completely disappeared into the side of this embankment, just disappeared.
Did it scare you?
It did. It startled me because I was on alert looking for the place where these people had skidded out. And, I was had my mind on that, and I wasn't expecting to see this creature run across the road. It was very unexpected. And, the creature was far enough ahead of me that I didn't have to slam on my brakes, but I could clearly see it. And then it just started up the embankment at a 90-degree angle and disappeared.
Poof, and it was gone. Hey, thanks for that story, sir. Let's go next to Joe in British Columbia, Canada, on the international line. Hey, Joe.
Oh, hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Joe. Good. Glad you got through.
Yeah, this time I finally got through. Thanks.
What's going on?
About the ET exposure.
Okay.
Yeah, last night you were interviewing Linda. Linda was talking about the animal mutation by the ETs.
Yep, the mutilations.
The mutilation by the ETs, yes. She was expecting the government to expose the evidence about those kind of ETs. But you see, I wanted to tell Linda that these ETs don't want to be exposed too much to humans. And they are watching, they're actually watching our government.
And these ETs aren't good, are they?
Pardon?
These ETs aren't very friendly, are they?
Not all of them, but some are friendly, but the problem is their shape are not pleasant to us. That's why they they cannot expose them to us, expose themselves to us. But they are watching our government, so our government cannot expose too much evidence from them. So we should not expect too much expose from the government.
And you know this because you're in communication with ETs, if I recall.
Yes, yeah. I am also seeing their UFO, but I don't see themselves. I see their UFO.
What does it look like, Joe?
Well, I really don't know how do they look like, but I think there are some kind of greenish ETs, but
green.
With big eyes, this thing. And but I see their UFO, and what I see at night, a lot of UFO on the sky. They are telling me they are watching our Earth.
How long have you been visited, Joe? How old were you when it started?
Well, it is like almost 2 years now, 1.5 to 2 years.
Oh, that's not long. Okay. I thought maybe when you were a kid or something like that.
No, it's just recently.
All
but
right.
It is that I am connected with, there are like 800,000 years in our solar system.
800,000?
Yes. And they are telling me there are some ETs. There are like 20, 30 million years in our solar system.
How did they happen to come to you? What happened?
Well, I was searching about ETs for like 16 years. And finally, I started looking at the sky, doing meditation to get connected with some of them. But finally, I was able to get connected after 15 years of searching about them.
And they're out there. Joe, thanks for checking in with us. Next up, let's go to Louise in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Louise.
George, thank you for accepting my call.
Of course.
The information I'm giving to you is from the first book of Maccabees, chapter 10, and this is the Jewish or the Catholic Bible,
okay.
But the Jewish Bible specifically. Alexander the Great asked Ptolemy the First to give his daughter to him to become his queen. He wrote a letter and asked Ptolemy to give the letter. Ptolemy said, I will give you my daughter. And specifically, the name is mentioned in the Bible, Cleopatra. Ptolemy said, I will give you my daughter, but meet me in Ptolemais. Alexander said he would. Ptolemy gave his daughter Cleopatra to Alexander. And she was his queen for about a year. And then Ptolemy took her back and said, I don't want you to have my daughter. Now, Alexander was only 20 when he became the great ruler. He ruled for 12 years and died. Cleopatra the First was reincarnated as Aretha Franklin. That is why she's...
Oh, really?
Yes, that is why she has always been called the queen. She is the first person in history to have been changed three times.
Well, now, I thought you were the reincarnated Cleopatra.
This is the point the world has to know. There were seven Cleopatras. Aretha Franklin was...
Seven of them?
Seven.
Were they seven different Cleopatras?
Seven different ones. This is why people have to know the history. There were seven different ones. And if you study the history, you would see Cleopatra was always called the seventh. Even though they didn't use numbers, she was the seventh Cleopatra. She was the last one. She was the one of Julius Caesar and Mark Antony.
Now, which one were you?
The last one.
You were the seventh, and Aretha was which one?
She was the first. That's why she's mentioned in the Bible.
Interesting.
And chapter one starts off with...
How do you know this? Did this come to you in regression therapy or hypnosis?
No,
or what?
I told you I was downloaded, but I've studied the Bible ever since I was 15 years old.
Oh, yeah, you sound like you know it like the back of your hand.
Like the back of my hand. I can go from Genesis to Revelation. That's why when I call in, I tell you where the information came from.
Did you really get killed by a snake bite?
Oh, no, that is not true. Octavian made that up. Now, three groups of people changed the German Bible into the King James Version in 1611. There were 15 men from Oxford, 15 men from Westminster Abbey, and 15 men from Cambridge. And this is what the world doesn't know. This is why it's called the King James Version, which is the one everybody has been familiar with.
Well, you're always good for a little history lesson, Louise. Thank you. But that's kind of neat to know that Aretha Franklin might have been the reincarnated Cleopatra and that there were seven of them. I did not know that. Next up, we go to Dan out there in Virginia. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, I'm doing so good. George, I've been saving a special surprise for you, a wonderful one, ever since I first talked with you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. So what I did, and I didn't want you to know because you see all these years what I decided to do in regards to this surprise was to take time to earn your trust and respect. In other words, I made this decision right after I talked with you, and I saved this surprise. Now, what it is that I stayed up all night after the first time that I talked with you, and I wrote a hypothetical interview of you interviewing me.
Okay.
And unfortunately, now this even included spoofs on the commercials. It even included hypothetical phone calls with my responses, you see, and I mapped out the time frames and everything.
You did it all.
Yes, I did. Now, unfortunately, sir, what happened, you remember I went through the May 22nd, 2011 Joplin tornado?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, George, all the material that I had for you got destroyed.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yes. So I have been wanting all these years to wait for the right time to tell you that.
Well, I did not know that.
Yes, and I want to tell you something else. This will show you, because anybody can tell you, you know, that they love you. But what I do, George, no matter whether I'm working on sculptures or I'm composing music or rewriting things, and no matter what it is, I often imagined you there by my side.
Oh, damn.
And it's like, because, you know, you always call me Daniel, you know. And even times, like, I'll feel of how you are, you know. Let's say if you're driving somewhere, you know, or whatever. And when your spirit reaches out to me and calls me Daniel, I know that it's you. And I just wanted you to know because I don't mind waiting a long, long time, you see, bringing things to people.
Maybe one day when we have a little more time, we can do that live interview with me and you.
Yes. And oh, by the way, one more
little For folks who don't know you, Daniel, you're blind, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a synesthete. Everything crosses over like I hear colors and, you know, I'm one of those weird people.
Now, that's what I want to interview about. Well, what you think red looks like and blue,
well,
and stuff like that.
Red, a lot of times, red is hot. Of course, I saw some colors, you see.
When did you go blind? How old were you?
Well, actually, what it boils down to is, have you ever heard the term RLF, baby?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, from 1948 to 1953, that's when we happened. And they had to put us in the oxygen.
Yep, that's right.
Well, what actually happened, George, with some of us, besides it keeping us alive, it caused us to integrate our brains. So everything crossed over. And then up until I was five, you see, if you put stuff about 3 foot in front of me, I could still see. So I saw colors.
But then it started fading?
Right. And what happened when this happened was my visual areas of the brain, we don't need to get all fancy and stuff, basically that rewired itself.
Huh.
Into my regular and extra senses. And what was so funny, when I was 5 years old, and my dad was a nationally known educator and stuff, and he said, I told him, I remember, we little RLF babies, we were small. You know, I weighed 54 pounds in the sixth grade.
Yeah, you were a little person. Yeah.
So I took him aside and I said, now, Daddy, I see these wheels turning in relation to wheels. I see cranks and pulleys. I see shapes moving through each other, and everything was always in harmony with one another, you see. And I didn't know, you know, about it. And he said, all of a sudden, he gets so scared, you know, because we could feel the fear, you know. And he said, now, Dan, that's like Rube Goldberg. And he was a genius, but never practical. Don't be like him. Well, I didn't know what the heck genius was, you know. So here he was about 4 months before he died, and he could barely hear and see, so he brought me up real close. And he said, you know, Dan, you've been a pioneer all your life. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, thank you for not listening to your dear old
man. Oh, that's something. Dan, we got to take this break. We will be back with more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.